drawing. Yeah.
Tell me when you guys are ready. Are you set? Okay. Now, I understand Mrs. Johnson, is she still here? Yes. Mrs. Johnson, first of all, I want to offer an apology. I know you called me this morning, but I want to offer an apology to you and to Brandy for the inconvenience of yesterday. It was unexcusable. And yeah. So I want to just start there. That was, and as you'll hear from my remarks, I was very concerned about the circumstances from yesterday. So let me begin by saying, first of all, providing a successful learning environment for our students from the first class to the bus ride home is our goal each and every day at JCPS. Yesterday, hundreds of students and their parents at three schools were not afforded that experience. And I'll not make excuses for what happened yesterday afternoon. Let me be clear. Students getting home at such a late hour is absolutely unacceptable. I offer my sincerest apology to the students and parents who had to endure an evening filled with anxiety and frustration. At 87 of our 90 elementary schools, our tagging system worked. There were some slight delays and a little confusion. The types of issues you'd expect that with new routes, new tagging system on the first day, actually normally on the first day of school with new students, new registrants, new circumstances at schools, we are going to experience some delays. However, at three schools, there were significant problems with large numbers of students receiving tags with incorrect information for the afternoon commute. At 6:30 last night, we delivered all but 200 students home. At 7 p.m., that number was down to 50 students. By 8 p.m., we still had less than a dozen students, and the last student was delivered, and I think you heard it earlier, at 9 p.m. Again, this is completely unacceptable. I have to say, though, for the 87 schools where we did have success, we delivered those children home at an earlier hour than we usually do in prior years. We did have some technology issues yesterday with phones and computers being overloaded, which may have contributed to some of the problems, but the bottom line was a lack of preparation by the leadership in the three schools, especially at King and Lincoln. Today, I have suspended the principals at those two schools. I've instructed district staff to rectify this problem immediately. Additional staff have been deployed to these two schools to ensure smooth and on-time dismissals. Actually, letters of apology are being sent today to the parents and students who've been affected. I believe in our transportation system. I believe they've worked very hard to make this a success. We know that it works when implemented properly by schools. We saw that yesterday, and we will see that again today. Again, I want to offer my sincere apologies to our parents and students. This is not the way we hope to start off the school year, and we know it's not what parents expect from us. We're committed to providing the best learning experiences possible for every student, as well as an effective transportation system, which we've worked very hard over the summer and throughout the last year, actually, to refine. And we believe that in the next days, we will see the results of that. I'll open it up to your questions
Dr.
at this
Herman,
point.
Specifically, what was done wrong at the schools with this tagging system for the layman? What was done wrong? It seems like a simple process.
Well, in some cases, actually, let me share a possible example. In some cases, a student may have come in with last year's bus stop or last year's bus route that needed to be changed. Other students came in with no information or no tag, and we needed to do the research. Others, we had very little information about whether they were going to go to a child care center, whether they were going to go home and then try to contact parents. In some cases, at least at these two schools, there was a great deal of confusion. We had a number of ESL students at these schools and other schools who did not have information that was tagged appropriately. So we had a number of problems like that which complicated issues. But frankly, it was my understanding, and most of the, as we tried to set this up, the tags were available, the information was available to principals early. Many of them had printed out the information early, were ready to go, had practiced. In at least I had stopped at Lincoln, and I saw that they had not done a practice. They had not been able to tag students appropriately. There was still confusion about which tags went with which students, and there was a great deal of confusion at the school.
How long were the suspensions?
Well, at this point, we're suspending them upon investigation, and so we will see as we look at what really went into the problem. But I felt it was necessary so we get the schools back on track to have somebody there who could manage the transportation system and effectively get those students home. We've actually deployed in one school 30 people. King, we have 30 people there working to make sure that we get every student researched, every student tagged appropriately, and that they get home effectively.
Dr. Burrow, these suspensions are effective immediately?
Today.
With pay?
Yes.
I want to quote you from yesterday morning. You said, "I think we've had one of the smoothest openings we've ever had. In fact, we're talking with some of our veteran staff, and they gave us feedback that this was one of the best openings we've ever had." So obviously,
that is true.
You felt like this worked very well in the morning. So
yes.
What happened between the morning and the afternoon that made this such a disaster?
Well, you know, I wouldn't frame it as such a disaster. Let's be really clear. 63,000 kids got home earlier than they would normally have gotten home. So there's a success. I don't want to diminish the work that went on at 87 of our elementary schools, all our middle schools, all our high schools. We worked with every single principal in the system to make sure that our buses were going to get out earlier and get home earlier. And for the most part, that did happen. At three schools, we had very serious problems. Now, part of that was the breakdown in the tagging system. One was a technology issue, but in fact, in some cases, it was not getting the tags on the right kids. In some cases, in one case, I think we actually had a child tagged to go to some place that I think it's Mrs. Johnson's son, as a matter of fact, tagged to go to some place that they didn't live. And so, you know, that there were really, that was a serious problem. Now, for the small group of students, and I know that in no way do I want to diminish the pain and anxiety and frustration that those parents experienced. But for that group, which actually, if you want to go through the data, is a fairly small group, given that we're transporting 63,000 kids, it was not a pleasant experience. And I feel both responsible for it, and I apologize for it, and letters of apology are going from the principals to those parents. But for the most part, this was a success. We had in the smoothest opening we've ever had. We believe that actually this morning went very smoothly. I think, Rick, you'd confirm that.
Yes, sir.
And we probably will. I would love to be back here at 7 tonight and tell you that we've had the smoothest close we've ever had. And I hope I can be, because that's what our effort will be.
Why the suspensions at the two schools and not the other? Was there a different situation?
Yes, there was a different situation at Chancey.
What was the breakdown there?
The principal did fix the problem and got the kids out, handled the problem, even though it reflected some difficulty in managing the situation. The principal did get all the depot buses out. The direct routes were held up, but the students did get home by around 6.
Our understanding was that the school bus drivers were told not to let students on unless they had the correct information on their tags. Is that correct? Because apparently there were, you know, kids that sat at the school. Mrs. Jennifer's daughter was there until 6:15. It took from 6:15 to 9 o'clock, almost three hours to get to the bus.
Right. Well, when there were, we talked about that, and in fact, one of the decisions that had to be made, you realize that when we use depots, if we delay a depot bus, we not only delay the students who are on that depot bus, but we delay the whole system. And so we made the decision that because those students didn't have tags and we didn't know where they were going, we released the depot buses without the students on them. So it took us time to get a bus back to the school to get to pick up the kids and then figure out where they, and in the meantime, they needed to be tagged about where they were going, because at the end of school, they did not have a tag.
I want to ask you about the system in particular, because people from outside Louisville, they come here and they hear about the way things operate here, and they kind of scratch their heads. I mean, a lot of people grew up in a situation where you went to your neighborhood school. I talked to Rick last month. He told me that a $45 million budget, that it's so complicated setting out this bus system that there isn't even software that can do it. And we're subjecting 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids to that system where they've got to transfer on buses, that type of thing. Is it worth it academically to ship these kids all over the county every day?
You know, first of all, let me challenge your premise. First of all, we have an extraordinarily efficient transportation system. Even if you had neighborhood schools, even if you had neighborhood schools, you'd be probably transporting some students the same amount of time that we transport students right now because of the size of some of those neighborhoods. And in addition, once you have magnet schools, King and Lincoln are district-wide magnet schools. Once you have magnet schools, you open up a whole different transportation system. So we're not talking about student assignment at all. This is not a student assignment issue. So let's take student assignment off the board here. This is not about student assignment. This is about how you deal with a magnet school and how it interfaces with a regular transportation system. Is that pretty clear? Absolutely it's worth it. Absolutely it's worth it. The diversity within the system is a key academic feature of this system. It's what gives this system the potential for quality. It's what makes this system much better than systems in Atlanta or Chicago or Detroit. We have an excellent system, and that excellent system is built on the diversity that we're able to establish. I can't say it more strongly. Got it?
Got it.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you.
These three schools are not, well, Chansey is not a magnet school, but, I mean, there's plenty of other examples of parents. I mean, Englehart, I've heard from Norton, I've heard from Portland, of Atkinson, kids that were left beyond 6 o'clock.
You know,
their contention is it is the student assignment plan. That had if it weren't for the student assignment plan, their child would be going to school where they're located, and that they wouldn't be transported. And I mean,
I just disagree. In fact, you know, you can have a student at any time being assigned to the wrong bus stop or assigned to the In fact, if you choose a magnet school or choose another school, you can have some of the same problems occur. It isn't about student assignment. It's about the complexity of a system that has 100,000 students and transports 63,000 of them. We provide an extraordinary level of transportation, far beyond what is required. Far beyond what is required. And sometimes when you're transporting those students, there's an individual student who gets left at a school or gets left behind or sleeps on a bus or falls asleep. And we've had a number of circumstances where things have occurred. And you have to expect that in the first days. That does happen. You have to also expect that there'll be longer times that we, for example, we just want to make sure that we're getting all kids to the right spot. So in fact, sometimes we're going to take more time on the first days. And we've always done that. And in fact, not only have we done that, but every single district that has a transportation system does that. You take more time on the first days. You get kids to school a little bit later because you're taking more time. You're making sure the bus drivers know the kids and begin to get familiar with the kids. You are working the routes, even though we've test driven them, and every district does that as well. But I think we're very thorough around that. And at the end of the day, you want to not leave children behind. So you work pretty hard at it, and so it does take more time. Are we going to have a couple of students out of 63,000 where there are mistakes made? Absolutely. And do we apologize for that? Absolutely. And do we do our best to address that? I think we do. But, you know, I would say, if we were here in a week, you wouldn't be hearing any of these issues. You won't be hearing these issues.
One of the other issues that we heard from Mrs. Johnson, it wasn't just about the time frame, which obviously you said was way beyond the pay.
Yeah, way beyond.
But,
yeah.
But she didn't know where her child was.
And nobody seemed to know
in your system. So what does that say?
Well, you know, and in fact, we did talk briefly about that because the child was on a bus that the child shouldn't have been on. And it was difficult locating what bus that child was on. No. It was our fault for putting the child on the wrong bus. But then locating the child on individual buses takes time, and we had to actually, you know, I don't know, Rick could probably say more about what the process was for how we tried to locate the child.
At what point does the child become missing? I mean, if we're talking a 3-4 hour period for any parent, I mean, if you can't get in touch with your child, and the district tells you that you don't know where the child is, At what point do you call the police and say?
Well, I think that's a fairly rare circumstance, but Rick, do you want to?
Sure.
At that time, after we went back to pick up children at Lincoln and King, the staff put students on the buses. We were not aware at that point because we were trying to get students home. We were not sure who was on what bus. The driver had a list that they were given. And in that time in the evening when their radio system is so busy, we had a difficult time trying to find the children that we were looking for. They were always on the bus. They were safe. We understand parents were concerned. We were concerned. That's why no staff leaves until every child is delivered the first week to 10 days of school. Everybody stays, our full transportation staff.
So they were on a bus and they were safe, but you just didn't know which bus?
We didn't know which bus. Once we found the child, it was about 45 minutes before we got the child home. Actually to the back to one of the compounds. So it's just difficult some of those first few days when we have children get misplaced, put on a wrong bus, for us to be able to find them. Drivers that may have never seen the child after the first 3 or 4 days, we can call on the radio and is Johnny or Susie on the bus? Yes, I have them. But you have to remember, they may have not even seen that child to the first afternoon because they may have been a car rider. Or there's the first morning, they've only seen the child one time. So you gotta understand, and it's not easy, but we try to do our best.
So Rick, what are the drivers doing with those kids at 7:30, 8:30, 9? Are they just driving around?
We had addresses for those children. Sometimes when they were put on the bus, they could have been 7 or 8, 10 miles apart. So it takes time to do that. So the drivers has the addresses. They work.
Three children at home?
Yes.
Dr. Berman, were the children fed at these schools? I mean, we're talking a very long period of time from their lunchtime. Were they fed at these schools?
I'm not sure. I'm sure that they were given, you know, had water. We know we had water at depots and others, but I can't answer that. I just don't know.
Is that acceptable to you? I mean, do you think that?
No, I think we, you know, no one anticipated we would be that late. But in fact, obviously, and we didn't have a provision for that, I believe we just had a provision for water. I'm sure that there were some cases where students were given snacks, but I just don't know what was happening at the individual schools.
Are you going to come up with some sort of a plan in place in case this happens again, that the kids would be fed food, or?
Well, I think we have to have that kind of conversation, but I think we will have the conversation about debriefing around this. We had one conversation today. A lengthy conversation, actually, around looking at where were the problems, where were the delays, how do we fix those delays. That was both at the high school, high school, middle school, and elementary. We're going to continue to process this. I happen to believe that this is really an exceptional event, that we haven't seen anything like this before. We've seen individual cases, but we have never seen as serious an issue as it was here. Now, we've learned some lessons from this. First of all, I think the one lesson is that we have to specifically coach principals to get those tags printed and available before the first day of school. I think some of them, and in this case, counted on printing out those tags the first day of school, which is just a very challenging task to do. I think that there's other things that we could do, but I just want to acknowledge, though, that at 87 of our elementary schools, at all our middle schools and all our high schools, this transportation system worked. Now, we were slower, we had some typical delays, but it worked. So I don't want to discredit the entire system, either the transportation system or the principals, because they did an extraordinary job. We've been working on this for almost a full year, and in fact, for the most part, we're way ahead of the game, for the exception of the small group of students who were at Lincoln and at King, and actually in Chancey, but Chancey actually got home, you know, it's not a great time, but it wasn't it wasn't 8 or 9 o'clock.
Dr. Berman, the situation with these individual three schools,
Yes.
Created this problem. Has staff addressed them yet?
Yes.
And made changes, or have they, are we still in the...
No, we went in this morning, in fact, and I had staff there this morning. In fact, someone took over, an experienced, actually, is one of our liaisons, took over, one of our elementary liaisons, took over at each of the schools. Pat Todd assigned her staff and other staff to go in. We had, as I said, we had 30 people at King today working on this issue. We want to make sure that there are no problems. And I got a call just before coming here that they had all but a very few students tagged. And they were going to be well on their way to getting all of this complete by the end of the day and actually testing it out, doing the dry runs that we had suggested they do. I think we're going to be in good shape. Might there be another problem that emerges? Yes, in the first days. In fact, we have a continual stream of students who come in those first days. In fact, in any one of these days, we'll see our enrollment grow by numbers in the first days, and so we may see a new student who we may have very little information about. We are going to try to address that. I think people throughout the system, principals throughout the system, know how seriously we take this. I think the message we delivered today was a very serious message to principals.
You mentioned about the suspensions that
Yes.
are at least temporary while this investigation is going on.
That's right.
Once the investigation is complete, is it possible that other people could be reprimanded, whether that be suspension, termination? Could these principals be terminated ultimately?
I'll have to answer that one after the investigation.
I don't know.
Let me just say that
blame on these two principals for this.
Well, we want to look at it very carefully. I do think that the principals here had some responsibility, significant responsibility, and I'm very concerned about the way that the system operated at those two schools.
Were they told to print out the tags in advance?
I think we informed them to be prepared and well prepared. We have had monthly meetings about this for a year. We have tried to do as much as we can to prepare principals well and to say, this is critical. I actually met with them before the start of school and basically said, thank you for all your effort. This is the most critical first day we have had, and I know that you're all behind it. So I think that there's, you know, we attempted to do our best. I think the message that we will process what had happened, we'll do the investigation, and we'll see where that leads us.
Do you think this might be fuel for additional lawsuits against JCPS?
I don't think so. I don't think that there's a, you know, I don't think any, frankly, I think the children were well cared for while they were in our care. They may have been late, and I know, but they were safe. They were safe. So,
sir, if I could please make a comment or ask a question. In our community, we have an Amber Alert, and statistics have shown that the Amber Alert was put into place because within 1 to 2 hours, very limited amount of time, a child that's been abducted or is missing could be out of state. I mean, they could vanish. I would like to see something put in place by the Jefferson County community or Jefferson County public school system that is an Amber Alert for people that, children that are left on the bus and that you cannot account for. There was not enough urgency to this situation. There should have been red flags, sirens going off all over the place when nobody at 8 o'clock could tell me where Brandy was. So my concern is, because what if Brandy had been shuffled off the bus? It's all the what ifs. And of course that didn't happen to her, and thank God it didn't.
Yeah.
But it's the what ifs. And what if she had been shuffled off the bus? What if she had been dropped at another location? We would not have known until 9, if that, that she was lost.
I can appreciate
so
your concern. Yeah, I think you're making a very good point.
For our bus system, transportation, and schools.
I think in general, frankly, we do have that kind of alert system because we don't have it on this scale. But it didn't, it wasn't, no, right. I would agree with you.
Have you talked to school board members? Because I've talked to several today, and they're obviously not very happy with what happened. Have you talked to any of them today?
Yes, I talked to some last night, as a matter of fact. And I talked to one today.
Were they aware of the situation last night? Because I don't think a lot of people were aware of the scope of the situation last night.
Well, I think the press exaggerated the situation to some degree. As I said, the.
And we've exaggerated that.
Would you have felt that way if it was your child?
I didn't say it wasn't a problem. I just said that and I didn't say that we shouldn't apologize for that. All I said is that when you look through the statistics, all but 200 students arrived home by 6:30. That was not what was reported. That's not what is out there. All right, I think at this point, I think I'm going to close it. Thank you.
Can I ask one question?
Why don't you see me, okay? Thank you.
This was not exaggerated. I'll tell you what, this was not exaggerated. And they did not act appropriately.